As always, many thanks to the late and beloved Mr. Fletcher Bright, a truly amazing gentleman, for our opening theme, which he recorded here on top of Lookout Mountain at Sunset Rock in 2014. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Mountain Echo, a community-based podcast serving our mountaintop neighborhood, featuring the people of the mountain and their passions. We hope you'll sit back and enjoy this next episode and learn about our fellow neighbors and their interest and all the wonderful and fine goings-on in and around this amazing community in which we live. Also, we hope you'll help us out by telling your friends and your family about our program. Maybe text a former neighbor who lives off the mountain now and let them know where to find us, themountainecho.org. Help us spread the word, and for that, we'll give you our sincere thanks. And now, The Mountain Echo. Well, hello, everyone. Today, we're here with someone who I think is just fascinating. I think you'll know her family for sure if you've been on the mountain for any amount of time, but you may know her as well. We're here today with Laura Moore Scorey. And Laura, thank you for joining all the listeners today. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is just fantastic. Your home is sitting right here on the west side of the mountain with a beautiful view, and it's just gorgeous out here this time of year. And so we want to thank you for just inviting us into your home and letting us learn a little bit more about you and maybe growing up, maybe on Lookout, and then really about your passion. And I think that's going to be just so interesting. But would you just mind taking a moment to share for the listeners a little bit more about yourself and your family and growing up here on Lookout?
Well, sure. Yeah. My ties to Lookout, not just growing up here my whole life, but they go back way back with family on both sides. My mom and dad grew up here on Lookout Mountain. And I grew up just down the street on Highland Avenue, the first summer club on Lookout Mountain. And went to Lookout Mountain School, and then followed that with Baylor.
A lot of folks can relate to that, starting out on the mountain at LMS or Farallon, then going to one of the local prep schools like Baylor. I know you love Baylor. They have an incredible art program. Of course, I sound like I'm itching to get to part two, but I'll slow down. I'll slow down. I know you love the art program there.
Yeah. Well, and Lookout Mountain School's little art program. We're so lucky to have that.
Gosh, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. I grew up with Tony Gwaltney as my art teacher at Lookout Mountain School. And
Tony
Gwaltney. She was wonderful. I mean, immediately sparked an interest to me. She taught us about, I remember learning about Georgia O'Keeffe and her flowers and her desert paintings and really a whole art history background leading into, we did our own cave paintings. I just remember so much of that. What she taught me stuck with me, which I think is a cool thing as a young kid.
And forgive me for not knowing, but I mean, how is the art program now? I don't have any clue.
Oh my gosh, it's wonderful. My oldest, who will be going into second grade this fall, she talks about Miss Patterson, the art teacher, constantly. She tells me how she can do magic, how she's in love with rainbows and rainbow order colors, and she just loves it. So
nice.
Yeah, we're lucky to have it, and such a great school for our little community. I mean, it's a public school, but I mean, the way parents rally around it and chip in, it really feels more like your kids are getting up almost private education up here.
Oh gosh, I think so too. I think it's a real anchor.
Yeah, for sure. Ruth White is the principal now. She was my third grade teacher.
I remember Ruth being a teacher for years.
Oh, yeah, forever. She was my third grade teacher.
Gosh.
Back in the trailers behind the thing when they were still updating some of the rooms. So yeah, it's just a special place. It's really cool to be raising my kids here now after growing up here. It's a great thing. And living in my grandparents'
home. That's right. Okay, so you've been around this house for your whole life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My grandparents built this house in 1950. They came home to it for the first time with my dad as a newborn. Came home from the hospital for the first time to this house. Pretty remarkable and special to have it. The family history of it and the property up here. And for us now to be living here and raising my kids in it.
And of course, you have memories of it as well.
Oh, growing yeah. up. I mean, oh, totally. But I think that my grandmother raised five boys in this house. It's just, it's wild.
It's a wonder this house is still standing. Yeah.
I know. So.
This patio here on the edge is so magical. I mean, it's shaded. It looks out. The tree, mm-hmm. I guess you remember all this from when you were little.
Yeah. And these trees are so old. I mean, they're invaluable on this West Brow too. You think about the way it comes down to have that natural shade. And this stone patio room behind you was actually an open patio and for a long time when I was little, and then they decided to enclose it. But yeah, it's a really special thing to get to live here.
And you've got great windows, letting a lot of light in, a lot of view.
Yeah. Gotta have that natural light.
I don't think there's a lot you really had to do to this house to move into it, was it? Or,
No. You know, at first, when my grandmother passed, the five boys, nobody was really, my dad was the only one living here full time on lookout, and nobody was really in a position to take it on themselves, but they knew they didn't want to sell it.
And about how long ago would that have been, you think?
So Steve and I had just had Liv, was 6 months old when my grandmother passed, and they said, y'all are in town and would you have any interest in living here for a little bit, renting it, see what you think. And we just, it was crazy how quickly it felt like home. I was like, wow, live in my grandmother's house? What?
And sure.
And then it just, it quickly became home to us. So
that's so great.
Yeah.
And your little kiddos are going to get to benefit from having a good, wonderful home.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, really, Lookout Mountain too. It's, I feel like when my husband first moved up here, he was like, it's like a throwback to the 50s, you know, in a wonderful sense,
in a good way,
that kids can walk around and it doesn't feel, it just feels safe and it feels idyllic in a lot of ways.
Now, is he from here? Did he grow up on Lookout?
He grew up in Hickson.
Okay.
Both of his parents were veterinarians.
From Chattanooga.
They're actually both from small towns in Alabama and met at Auburn Vet School and moved here. His dad started a practice. His mom was a big animal vet, loves horses and all that. So they grew up in Hickson. And Dr. Scorey, my father-in-law, he still works like one day a week at the Ashland Terrace Animal Hospital is his practice.
Oh my gosh. I think I just made the connection of who the name and who that is.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. So a lot of people might who've longtime Chattanooga residents would probably recognize your father-in-law's.
Yes. I get a lot of name. People that are like, wait, Scorey. I think I know.
I
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Scorey's not a very common name. So.
And so Steve works here in town.
He works here in town. He's a physician at Erlanger East.
Oh,
primary care outpatient. Yeah.
Well, he helps a lot of people there. That place doesn't stop, does it?
Oh, my God. Ever.
How did we not have Erlanger East before we had Erlanger East?
I know.
Mean, you think, did we really have to go all the way downtown?
Yeah.
There was nothing out there?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He did his residency downtown. So at the Baroness.
Sure. Yeah.
But. Yeah.
So Steve is around a lot of patients every day.
Oh, yeah. He is. He is very busy and is, med school and residency. It's its own.
Yeah.
He did a med school out in Kansas City where we lived for a little while and then moved back here for residency.
I hear a lot of great things about Kansas City.
Oh, it's spectacular.
Did you like it?
Oh, we loved it. We talked so much about how if it wasn't so landlocked where it is, we probably would have looked at staying, but it was just like a little too far from family in the middle of nowhere.
It seems like a hidden gem.
It is.
That people, until they are more familiar with it, just don't realize.
Right. And yeah, it took a lot of convincing to get some people to come visit us. But once they did, they were like, this place is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's got a real roaring 1920s theme kind of running through the whole city because it was a major go through from Chicago to Vegas for all the mob scene and all that. Wow. So there's a lot of old speakeasies that have been revamped but kept very authentic the way that they were. So it's a really cool place.
Never knew that.
Yeah.
And but now back to Lookout Mountain, to the new life.
Yeah.
The new life in the home that you've known forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild?
And your children at your school.
Yeah.
LMS.
Yeah. And I mean, my grandmother she opened the first woman-owned commercial gallery in Chattanooga.
Oh, that's awesome.
Called Montcrest Gallery.
But that was the first female-owned art gallery.
Mm-hmm. And the first, I believe, commercial art gallery in Chattanooga.
Wow.
I know. And she had a real passion. She was a oil painter as well. She dabbled with watercolors as well, but she was a tremendous lady. Fascinating. And the kindest.
Are you like her? I mean, do you look like your grandmother or is she?
No.
You don't look.
I look a lot like my dad, but my dad looked more like his dad.
Tell us about
your
dad.
She was a little petite lady.
She was
really small, little petite, dark jet black hair.
Now your dad is Chris.
Yep. Chris Moore.
People may know Chris.
Yeah. And he was a family physician, sports med, wilderness medicine for a long time. And then
He's done a lot.
Yeah, he used to run the wilderness medicine conference in town for a long time, which was really cool. Yeah. And then middle of five boys, they always hosted like all the baseball games up here and all that. So
now, did you have a lot of brothers and sisters? Or
I'm the youngest of four.
Four.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So sister, two brothers, then me.
Okay.
Yeah. Sarah Zane, Timothy, Fur.
Okay.
Then me.
And who all live here in town? Everybody? Just you?
Just Fur. He's just a year older than me. He lives downtown on the south side with
neat.
His fiance.
Oh, good.
Yep. They're getting married next spring.
Isn't south side just booming still?
Oh, my gosh. It's just taken off. And it's great. I mean, they're right off of Main Street, so they just get to.
Oh, they can walk to
Different Maine. World than, yeah. So, yeah. And then I've got my two oldest siblings, Sarah Zane and Timothy, are both in California.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get to see them?
No. COVID, no, but going out there next week to rejoin the whole fam, get everybody together, hopefully.
West Coast girl, the whole fam will be out there.
Traveling with three, it will be interesting.
I'll tell you, traveling can be wonderful and fun, but there's something about coming home that always feels great to come home, especially to Lookout Mountain, especially in the summer when it's so hot and you come up and you can feel the temperature come down and you know you're home. You see everybody's familiar.
Yeah.
It's just such a great place.
It's a good feeling. Makes you really appreciate it.
Steve's got to be so happy to be living up here. And I know you are in this house that's home to you already.
Yeah.
And so.
He loves it.
And you have three children, right?
Yes. Three little children. They're getting a little older, but 7, 5, and 3.
Oh, a 7, 5. Okay.
Yeah. So Liv, my oldest, is starting second grade in the fall. L, my middle, is starting kindergarten in the fall, which is blowing my mind. And then my little 3-year-old George, he is at Good Shepherd.
How in the world did you pick Liv and L? Those are beautiful and not common.
Right. Well, Liv is short for Laura Livingston. So that was my name growing up, Laura Livingston Moore, which was a big family name. My grandfather was Scott Livingston Probasco. So, So, and I just wanted to keep that Laura Livingston intact for her and call her Liv. And then L is named after my mom, Ellen. She's Ellen Lee. Yeah. So combo of our mom's names.
Nice.
Yeah. And then George is my father-in-law.
George
Pierce. He's ridiculous. He's a mess. But aren't they all?
But he's in the same birth order that you were, even though you had three older siblings, he has two older, but you're right. Both the youngest.
The baby.
So you and George may have that connection.
Yeah.
In addition to being yeah. a mom and son.
Yeah.
You know, you may just have a close connection always. Oh, yeah. That, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's, old George.
Oh, he's so cute.
You call him George or George? What do you call him?
I call him George.
George, yeah. Come yeah. here.
George, little man, buddy. We got a lot of nicknames.
Well, and are any of them a little version of you? Are they an artist or?
Well, you know, it's funny to watch your little people come into themselves and what they pick up from parents, what they get all on their own. Liv is really into art right now and creating and designing, and she always wants to be busy doing those kind of things. Elle, I definitely see, not just because she looks exactly like me, but she's a little spicy Aries with who loves to play dress up and sing and dance. And so there's a little bit of me that I like to think is in her too. And
yeah,
you know, we'll see how they.
So Liv, when she does her art, when she expresses art, is that done? Is 100% of that at home? Is half of it at school, half of it at home? Does she do camps? Is there a little group she has in town? How does that work for children nowadays that really love art? Is it mostly just on the parents and home to do art with
no,
a child?
No, I mean, like I said, with LMS having an art program, yeah. you know, that's a big deal for us to have those yeah. extracurricular teachers, basically. Yeah. So she gets to do so much of it at school, which is wonderful. But, you know, yeah, we've really harnessed her love of it here, too. And it's, I just feel like it's such a wonderful thing when stuff is haywire and chaotic. And I feel that art is really a way to calm children down. Really, it's when they don't have the words to express how they're feeling or to explain to grownups what's going on inside, art really helps them harness that and put something on paper. And it's for them, I think it's a huge part of self-expression and coming down a little bit to figure out what's going on. So I've really watched that with my kids when they need it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's true in your experience. You could say that you've seen art, the power of art, be so calming.
Absolutely.
And an outlet.
You yeah. know,
you hear so much in the news about, well, gosh, everything nowadays about children needing a productive, good way to express and to have an outlet for their emotions.
Right.
So what you just said really connected with me, or it should connect with anyone who's been following the news lately.
Yeah. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you can find different ways with different kids. I mean, Elle, for us, Elle, she loves doing art, but when you get her dancing or singing, you know, you can tell that's really her release.
Right.
Like,
right.
And how she connects her emotions to different songs is really remarkable. It's incredible to watch. So I think it's such a neat thing.
So she could go in any direction. She could be more of a musician, more of a performer. Any of that is yeah. more her lane
yeah.
at this point, you would say.
Oh, yeah. I could see her being definitely on the stage.
On the stage.
Oh, yeah.
She on the stage here a lot at
oh,
night
yeah.
with the family.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, I guess George is still, you know, George is early yet. You know, he's still figuring it out.
Yeah. He's being a destructive little 3-year-old boy, which I'm hearing is pretty common.
I think it is.
So we don't quite know. I will say he does love animals to a extraordinary measure. I mean, just taking him to the zoo and the way he hones in on animals.
Isn't that interesting how he's sort of channeling maybe a little bit from Steve's side,
right?
And his parents,
yeah.
that love of animals.
Yeah.
And wow.
That's a real, yeah, to have two grandparents that were mm-hmm. big time vets. I mean, what a cool thing. So,
yeah.
Be interesting to see.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, I know you love your children dearly. I hear you talk about them occasionally, and I can tell how much you're loving And you should be this part of life, even though it's so hard.
So hard.
I don't know how in the world. I'm just sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking, your husband is a doctor. Mm-hmm. You're at home with three little children. You know, they're too young for the debt. Well, there wasn't even a vaccine initially, but then they're still too young. How in the world did you guys get through COVID? Was he working through all that? And
Oh, yeah. Never took a day off.
So he's coming home out of a hot zone every day.
Yeah.
How stressful was that?
Oh. I mean, it was something else. It was,
you'll never forget that.
No. And it, my, George had just turned one. Elle was still two and Liv was still four when COVID lockdown happened, you know, and when we refer to COVID lockdown, it's like, well, most people stayed home and figured out how to work from home and, which I'm sure had its own challenges, but, yeah, Steve had to keep going in and taking care of people. And it was a lot. Wow. It was,
because he had to be worried. What if I
bring this home?
Got them sick. Right.
You know, before we knew much about it. And it was like, he came home and would decontaminate. I mean, he had his own laundry basket. He'd have to take off everything, put it in that.
Oh, wow.
Take a shower before he could hug the kids or say hi. You know, I had to hold them back, be like, don't touch them.
I guess you had to explain to them.
Yeah. And it was like the virus. We had to just keeping it simple with them. But, you know, 1-year-old's like, what?
Sure. Here, what are you? We were all saying that, too.
Yeah. So,
I guess there's the normal protocols for families, especially with young children who have a parent who's a doctor or in the medical, you know, they're in an area where they're around people who are sick every day, but that took it to a level that many of us had not ever related to.
Right.
So I can't imagine you having those little babies because George would have only been,
just turned one. Yeah.
Yeah. Little.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got through it. We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
It's 2022,
we're
Laura.
We're all here. I hope I didn't mess up my kids too bad during that stressful time.
Thank you for protecting.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, it was, and I think everybody has their version of what was hard for them during that. You know, I mean,
sure.
People that didn't have young kids or a husband at the hospital was like, oh, lucky. And they were like, well, that was also extremely lonely for me, you know. I didn't have, so there's a different version of it. I know what mine was.
Yours was tough.
And it was tough.
Well, and it was scary.
It was very scary. Yeah. But you know, now my 5-year-old just got her first vaccine, her first shot yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. And my 7-year-old's fully vaccinated, which is exciting. The one for littles is hopefully coming out next week if the news is correct about that. So, you know, coming out of this thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, goodness, Laura, this is wonderful hearing about your children and about you and Steve and your new life in the old home on the mountain. And this is great. I know that people love hearing about, number one, who is talking, but just hearing about their neighbors up here on the mountain. You've done a great job, I think, of laying out the Scory fam and kind of what's going on from little Georgie on up. But I know that your passion in life, I know what it is, and that's really what I wanted to talk to you about today. And I wanted you to be able to share with everybody listening about just what you love. And
as my dog curls up in your suitcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel so welcome here. And I would much rather have that than being bitten. But I know that folks are going to love hearing about the passion in your life. And so why don't you just dive in and just tell us, what is it that you like?
Well, I love artwork. I love painting. It's really been a constant love of mine in my life. Took took me a while to figure it out, to really figure out myself and what I love, because I have so many interests. But it just really, it's been a big, big piece and part of my life. My, like I said, my grandmother was an artist with her gallery, and then she started running the gallery out of her house. I have a few of her pieces here still hanging in my house. And then my grandfather, Scotty Probasco, he was just a huge supporter of the arts in Chattanooga. And
Hunter Art Museum.
Hunter Art Museum was a huge passion of his.
A giving soul.
He really was. And it was a huge passion of his, and making sure that that was a big part of our Chattanooga community. So how cool that I'm getting to do what I love, first of all, and that, you know, just carrying so much of the family history with me.
You know, you really are. I mean, can you imagine what your grandmother would think? Here you are, her granddaughter, and your passion, your love is art.
Yeah. I like to think that there's a lot of her spirit, if you will, kind of coming to me in this house and carrying it on. There has to be. My sister said the same exact thing. She was like, I mean, can you just believe this? Like, what is coming out?
And even with your first daughter, Liv, even.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the thread that runs through you all.
Yeah.
And it's so strong and good and powerful.
Yeah. And I hope it's really showing my children to pursue what they love to do and what gives them a real fulfillment from within.
When did you first kind of say, hey, I kind of like art? And when then did you say, oh my, art's more than just something I like. This is big.
Like I said, I've always loved it. I loved it at LMS, and then got into Baylor Middle School and loved my art classes, loved Mr. Fazio, was very encouraging to me about keeping up my artwork and that. And then I got into high school and I took Mrs. Yan's class. I did after school art programs. And then I did pottery with Miss Portera, which there was something about it that just bowled me over. I was so in love with it.
I forgot you did pottery. Yeah. I knew you had done it and I'd forgotten. So
yeah. And then I did her advanced pottery class.
Yeah.
Just clicked on some level too about just where it can take you. I always got lost in that hour. Like it was like, wait, what time is it? Where'd the time go? And so that for me was when it really hit me that it was something to me, something to get lost in, something of self-expression that got to take form in these different art forms. So, and then when I transferred to Ole Miss from Suwanee, I really wanted to major in art. And the art program at Ole Miss was phenomenal. And I had a great advisor there that was big part of the art department, but I ended up transferring back home to UTC to finish, and I didn't have enough credits to pursue an art major. It would have taken me like 3 extra years to graduate, like that. So decided to major in environmental science, which is very
important,
practical.
Too, right?
Yes, thing with our the state of our world. But yeah, and then I did lose touch with it for a while, going out to Kansas City, following Steve out there for med school and getting married and having a lot of babies. And then COVID hit, and I had, right before COVID lockdown had happened, I had gone down to Gallery 1401 and walked through there. And I was just yet again, like knocked over by inspiration to create something. For people to put their creations out there, it's just so inspiring to me. And I was like, you know, I should get my old paints out again. So I pulled out my oil paints and I just started dabbling.
Was this pre-children? Was this just before children?
No, this
was after.
COVID lockdown with all three of them here. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I was just finding time at night and during nap time to dabble in painting again.
You know, I feel like Forrest Gump here, but
you know, Jenny, you're a mama.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three little ones.
Yeah.
And you're bringing art back into yeah. your life.
But, you know, COVID was so unsettling yeah. in so many different ways. And I had to find something to take my anxiety down a little bit, you know, to really have something that,
Isn't that how the guy on Breaking Bad got started? Didn't he need something yeah. in life? And he kind of went a different direction.
A little bit of a different direction.
I'm so thankful that, especially as a Lookout Mountain resident, you went back to art.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's such a wholesome, great yeah. thing. Especially when stress is high. I found that, you know, when you've got a lot of young little ones running around, that can be the hardest time of your life to make yeah. it all click, to make it work.
Yeah.
To be a good spouse.
To take care of yourself.
And yourself.
In
thank
way.
You. Yourself and it's like, your children.
Well, because I think that as a mom, you never think to put any part of yourself first. It's right. always been a thing that's like, right. no, I got to take care of everyone else.
That's so true.
And then I'll check in with myself in a couple of years, you know. But
that's so true.
What art did for me, and I had really bad postpartum depression after George. And so what therapy and art did for me as a whole was just really not just help with the anxiety, but it really makes you get in touch with yourself a little bit more. It makes you sit with yourself. It get in touch with those feelings and emotions, whether they're hard or sad or what they might be. But and then to be able to transfer it onto canvas, you know, just coming from a really authentic place. So, and wow. it started resonating with people, which was really exciting. So
I think your work absolutely resonates with people. And I really like how you just said that about, what was the term you just said? Sitting with yourself.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you think about how busy our lives are, and I mean, what's our number one distraction? You know, these smartphones in our hands. It's so easy to distract yourself from any kind of real, quiet, real presence with yourself, with emotions, no matter what they are. We're very good at putting it away. And it's always going to come back to get you in some way. So
wow. Are you sure your degree was in environmental science, or was it in more like counseling? Because I'm sitting here feeling better just listening to yeah. your kind of summation of it yeah. all. I think you're so right.
Yeah.
The cell phones, the demands, it's real.
It's distracting.
So real.
And I think that's why there's more people these days, more than ever, with extreme anxieties and anxiety driven depression. And you know, we talk about mental health, how important it is, but it's, you know, really got to realize what is distracting us from getting present in the moment. So,
and I think we're seeing it come out in a multitude of ways, good and bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of uh-huh, bad. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I will say that I feel that people are getting more honest about the good thing that has come out of that. People are getting more honest about mm-hmm. mental health issues and anxiety and how those manifest and what they look like, and really, you know, acknowledging that, which has been a big part.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah. I think that needs to be said more. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, definitely.
Between, like you said, even just the stress of breaking some of us are very routine driven.
Yeah.
And the pandemic just crushed that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's thrown us off in so many ways.
Yeah.
You know, now there are other things happening and other pressures in lots of different phases of the world, you know? And so I think you're right. I think things for you, art has been, it sounds like has been yeah. that saving grace.
Saving grace for sure. That's exactly what I was going to
yeah,
say.
I think we were going to thought of the same term.
Yeah. And I think we're saying with social media and like allowing people a glimpse in your life without really knowing you, it's easy to start judging yourself and be like, well, it didn't get that many likes, or these people don't like my painting, or somebody said a mean comment. And I think it's important to keep in mind to just stay true to yourself and be authentic. And if you're doing that, you can't do any wrong. It's like my therapist put it the best when she said, it's like, Laura, with your artwork, you've prepared a buffet for people. Some people don't eat. Some people don't eat meat. Some people don't eat vegetables. Some people don't eat fruit. You know, some people just want to look. It's like you're not in charge of making people like you or approve of your artwork or anything like that. I think it's just being authentic is what you can really
do. Analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
You said something once to me talking about all of this, and you said about owning it. You know, you need to, you know, I can't remember the exact word, but you said something about, you know, putting your work out there and about owning it. And I thought that was very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because it's owning 100% of yourself and not judging any part of yourself for it. You know, I mean, I've just put out like a series of paintings that are very dark and moody, and because I'm really getting in touch with a grief and sadness I've had over something for a very long time that, you know, we have this mentality to be like, no, it's okay. I cried for a couple of days and I need to move on. We all need to move on. It's like, that's not a thing. We don't move on. And especially grief is an expression of the utmost love for something, right?
Indeed.
So it's like, why put that away? So yeah, owning those emotions and owning that part of yourself, I think is a big part of it.
You lost a very close friend a while back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that was very difficult.
Yes. Kelly Smith. He was almost like a blood brother to me. Grew up our whole lives together. He's my person. He was somebody that understood me to my core. So losing that person and that relationship in my life was beyond difficult. But I'm getting less scared of letting the grief overcome me when it needs to. Because if you don't, it in turn turns into anxiety and other things. So
I can relate to what you're saying. I think everyone listening can relate to grief that they felt. And a lot of us, unfortunately, have felt it a lot more lately with everything going on.
Right.
And I'm so inspired by the fact that you re-engaged with an earlier passion in your life and art, and you've let it come back in a time that you needed it more than ever, it seems. And tell me, do you think people listening to this podcast, do you think that if they have always wanted to, you know, just try painting and all, that, you know, I'm always wanting to inspire people to try things. And you made a comment one time that made me think you are too. Don't you think people don't have to have been an artist since their birth, right?
Or? No, you don't even have to have ever picked up a paintbrush or, you know, I mean.
Yeah, please tell the listener that they can start
late. Yeah, I'm like, in Chattanooga too, the amount of classes we're getting and Townsend Atelier where I go and take a lot of classes right now and other places, you know, it's just.
That's
why not do
Peggy
it?
Peggy Townsend? Is
yeah.
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's Maywood's daughter. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's wonderful. I've just been, I'm just addicted to taking classes there. And
so anyone who feels like, you know, I've always wanted to do that and it's kind of been on a bucket list of sorts, they can try it, right?
Do it.
They can
do
just
do it.
Okay.
I mean, just because ask yourself, why not? I mean, why? Not well, I mean, try it.
Because I think they're afraid they're not good at it or they've never done it before. They don't know the terms. I don't know. They don't know where to go. I mean,
but you don't know where it will go unless you take a chance. So I think it's so important to just try it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you say, well, I tried it.
You're saying they could take one of these, like a beginner class here in town.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And, you know, there's all kinds of art camps around our city for kids and different ways to do that.
And they don't have to have their own brushes and a little beret or anything, do they, to get started? No. Can they just
Yes.
Show up.
Just show up. So I highly encourage to find what it is. Something, I just think if it keeps tugging at you and it keeps speaking to you and it's like there and you've always pushed it away or said it's not the right time, I think you got to do it. If something's speaking to you, got to try it.
You know, I think you're a big proponent too, because of our earlier conversations we've had about making sure that parents do their best to give exposure to the arts for young children.
Yeah.
And give them some, because you had told me when you were young, I think you took a trip with your parents.
Mm-hmm. To Chicago.
Yes.
And they took us to the Art Institute of Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
And it's where I saw the big, what is it, Seurat, the pointillism. It's gigantic. The scene by the river.
A lot of French Impressionism.
Yes. I mean, French Impressionism has just, it's always been my biggest love, inspiration.
Any advice from you for parents with young children of places? I mean, obviously, I love the Hunter Museum.
Yeah. But it's a great place to start. Take them there.
Yeah.
One-on-one with a kid. Just ask them, say, well, what is this piece of art make you feel like, you know, because for them, that's going to really relate to something that they can express without putting them on the spot about.
So engage
feeling.
With them about this. Yeah. See, I was like, I'm glad you said it, because I would be the guy who was like, come on, kids, let's get to the concession stand.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I would totally miss it.
Yeah. Well, and my parents were so big on taking us to Broadway shows or musicals. Or one year, I remember for my birthday, I was little and I asked for tickets to Riverdance when they came to town, because it was like the dancing, the music, there was something about it. So I think there's just so many different ways that you can expose your kids to these things that can make a big difference.
Check my mail right before I came over to meet with you. Got a letter from Nick Wilkinson at the Tivoli.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing such a great job of bringing in wonderful entertainment.
Oh, my God.
Don't you think?
Oh, and I always love talking to Nick about it and how much, you know, like I said, shows and musicals and things like that meant to me growing up. And
yes,
I really hope when my kids get a little bit older, I really hope to be a part of things like the Tivoli and the Hunter Art Museum, you know, really making sure that those
are
thriving, because they're so important. And what a cool thing that we have the Tivoli. So
I just appreciate you making a plea to other parents like yourself with young children. I know it's tough, but from about the point you're at going forward for a few years, you've got a special window where you can expose them to different forms of art. Because I believe you've always been good with me to say, you know, art presents itself, creativity comes out in lots of different ways.
Right.
You said people who make chairs or do woodwork is its own form. And they don't have to be a skilled, you know, two-dimensional person like you are.
You don't have to be an oil painter or a watercolor painter. There's so many things that you can do.
Tell me, you did a great job once explaining to me, what are the main mediums that people use again? You know, you think paint, but there's all kinds of paint.
There's all kinds,
And I told you I was a big Bob Ross guy.
Yeah.
I grew up with Bob Ross, and there's no telling what was inspiring Bob.
My brother loves to watch Bob
Probably
Ross
videos. Probably that cloud of smoke in the studio. But he, I think he was using a house brush and some house paint from Ace Hardware. But anyway, I grew up on Bob Ross. I know you're on a whole different level. Can you tell us, What are the paint that people use?
So it's usually between an oil base and a water base a lot of times. Like, I use oil paints. I do a different thing, though, too, where I draw pictures over the oil paintings with charcoal, which I think academically it's not really a thing. But I dabbled in it, and it works for me. But then a lot of people are acrylic painters, watercolor.
Yeah. Rule breaker.
I know. I'm going for it.
I've seen your work, and when I think of it just instantly, I think of a female who's moving or on a journey or walking through a scene. Is that right?
Yeah. That's kind of my bread and butter, what I do. I dabble in landscapes and things, but my paintings with the back of ladies is really what speaks to me. It's a huge part of my self-expression and
sure
where I see myself, where I found myself, where I think things are going, dark yeah. places I've been, you know, it's, sure. it's all, there's a little piece of me on each canvas, which makes it so personal. It's terrifying to share sometimes, but I'm
right.
I'm getting more, you know, just keep telling myself it's, I'm just sharing a piece of myself. And
but if okay. someone could connect, you know, the art that I've always, I mean, this may sound obvious, but I mean, the art that I've always liked the most is the art that I really felt like I connected with it somehow,
right.
with the emotion of it.
Yeah.
And I think I've always sensed there's a lot of emotion in your art.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very subjective. You know, art is so subjective. It depends on who's looking at it. But anytime that I hear just like one person be like, oh my God, this one just really speaks to me. Like I mean, what the biggest compliment to me, because if somebody can find something that connects to them inside with a piece of art that I've created, I mean, what an amazing thing. And to think about it hanging in somebody's house and they look at it day after day.
Day after day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really special. So I love it.
It's very obvious that you love it. It's a lot, it's obvious in the work that you do. You recently had a show on Lookout or something.
I did. I hosted a art show at Canopy.
Yes.
Yeah, they were so wonderful to let me kind of take over. And
now I'm not kidding. I heard from someone that thing was a blast and a huge success. Is that how it did go?
Was, yeah. It was. I will say I had no expectations with, which I think is a great okay. way to enter something. It just, especially when you're getting your stuff out there.
Sure.
And it just, everything exceeded what I thought was going to happen. And it was wonderful. And now I have all these other things happening. Bud and Floral on Dayton Boulevard just picked up my artwork and they've already sold 3 pieces.
Hey.
I know. And one of my pieces is going to be in a Architectural Digest article. They got photographed in a home in Palm Beach.
Laura, that's right. Awesome.
I know. So stuff's really starting to happen and it's really amazing.
I know because I believe you 100% that there's so much emotion in your art and mm-hmm. I think it makes it very powerful. I think you see art sometimes that maybe you just don't connect with it for some reason. It just doesn't, you know, you just see it and it goes by, but the yeah. art that you can somehow feel a little bit or relate to mm-hmm. Is so powerful. And I think yours always is when I see it, especially that I've gotten to know you and talk to you about it a little more.
Yeah.
It's very thank meaningful. You. How did you think, doesn't Canopy seem like a great venue for events like that?
It's so wonderful.
She's done a great job.
Glad with Carlisa it. And Hank and everybody has
yes.
opened that. It's what it means again for our community and like getting
great
to
job,
host
Carlisa.
That, oh yeah. And getting to host that art show and like having that place to put it out there.
Yeah.
And people to gather and
you just had an evening where people could come
yeah,
by.
Yeah, yeah, just a few hours. And it was so much fun.
Now, do you think we might have another one of those opportunities for folks to come out and maybe just walk by and see some of your work? Or is there a way for people to see your work that's easy?
Well, I have an Instagram and a new website. The website's lauramorescorey.com.
Gosh, that's going to be so hard to remember.
I know.
lauramorescorey.com.
Yep. And then my Instagram is lauramorescorey as well, just to keep it simple and
love it.
People that know my name.
Yeah,
so, my Instagram is the one that's very up to date with what I'm doing in the studio and such. Website, I'm not very good at it, but my good friend Tiffany Armstrong is helping me with it.
Oh, Tiffany Armstrong. Yeah, she's so good at
she's
that.
She's so wonderful.
And she helps people with websites and other things. She's so talented.
She's spectacular. It's such a blast.
She really is.
Yeah. Okay.
So you kind of recommend maybe either one, but definitely the Instagram.
Yes.
For the most up-to-date.
Yeah, most up-to-date. Yes. So, and then I've got a show at Bud and Floral, solo show at Bud and Floral on Dayton Boulevard on August 25th. It'll be an all-day thing. And they've been so supportive and wonderful about
Well, wouldn't you appreciate it if some folks hearing this put that on their calendar and just stop by for a minute, just to support, if nothing else, to support a fellow mountaineer, especially off the mountain and in town. So it's in Red Bank, Bud and Floral. What is it? Can you give us a landmark that it's near?
Yeah, it's almost right across from the McDonald's thing. So.
And there's usually some really, the lowest gas in town is supposed to be right there across McDonald's.
Perfect.
So there's come another great reason to stop by. And you say that's not until, we got to remember this, I folks, know. Or put it on a calendar, because it's not until August the
25th.
25th.
So I think it should be good. Schools will be back in session and everybody hopefully be back in town. And it just, it means everything to artists to have people just show up. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to, but it's just, it means a lot.
Absolutely. And so we definitely want to support you. You've just been so giving. I know you've got a lot going on with getting ready for the California trip. So thank you for the time that you kind of carved out for us to just hear more about you and your passions. And I think you're just doing, you know, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. You know, your wife, you're a mom of three littles, and you've got the art. You've got your art that's lifting off and becoming a more of a thing. You've just got so many things going, and I appreciate you taking the time. And
thank you. I appreciate you having me on. I love getting to talk about these things that mean a lot to me.
I think a lot of your neighbors are going to love this episode. It was very informative. And I think to me, a big thing that you did that was great was you've encouraged people who maybe are hearing this who say, gosh, I always wanted to do that. I just wonder if I, you know, just to say I did it. And I appreciate you encouraging them to step out of their comfort zone, maybe here in town, because you said there are classes all around that they could just try.
Oh yeah.
And they could just try it and just do it.
Yeah. I hope it does. I hope it does inspire somebody. Awesome. Be great.
Laura, thank you so much. You've been great.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's that time already. I'm Will, your host, and you've been listening to another great episode of The Mountain Echo, which is dedicated to the people of the Lookout Mountain community. We'd like to thank all of you, our great and dear listeners out there. We couldn't do it without you. And on that note, if you like us, consider telling a friend about us and where to find us, themountainecho.org. So, until we meet again, may your troubles be few, and may the good Lord bless and keep you near until this time next week. Let's see here. Fletcher and the Dismembered Tennesseans, take us away with Tennessee Waltz.